So saying, he led the way. The sceptered princes followed, and a page went to seek the sacred bard, while 250 picked young men departed, as he ordered, to the shore of the barren sea. On coming to the ship and to the sea, they launched the black ship into deep water, put mast and sail in the black ship, fitted the oars into their leathern slings, all in due order, and up aloft spread the white sail. Out in the stream they moored her, then took their way to the great house of wise Alcinous. Filled were the porticos, the courts, and rooms with those already come. Many were there, both young and old. For them Alcinous sacrificed 12 sheep, 8 white-toothed swine, 2 swing-paced oxen. These the men flayed and served, and made a merry feast. Meanwhile the page drew near, leading the honored bard. The muse had greatly loved him, and had given him good and ill. She took away his eyesight, but gave delightful song. Pontantous placed for him among the feasters a silver-studded chair, backed by a lofty pillar, and hung the tuneful lyre upon its peg above his head, and the page showed him how to reach it with his hand. By him he set a tray and a good table, and placed thereon a cup of wine to drink as need should bid. So on the food spread out before them they laid hands. Now after they had stayed desire for drink and food, the muse impelled the bard to sing men's glorious deeds, a lay whose fame was then as wide as is the sky. He sang the strife of Odysseus with Pelian Achilles, how they once quarreled at the gods' high feast with furious words, and Agamemnon, king of men, rejoiced in spirit when the bravest of the Achaeans quarreled. For Phoebus Apollo had by oracle declared it so should be at hallowed Pytho, when Agamemnon crossed its stony threshold to ask for a response. Then was the day the tide of woe began to roll on Trojans and on Danaans by will of mighty Zeus. So sang the famous bard. Meanwhile Odysseus clutched his great purple cloak in his stout hands and drew it round his head, hiding his beautiful face, for he felt shame before the Phaeacians, as from beneath his brow he dropped the tears. But when the sacred bard paused in the song, Odysseus dried his tears, took from his head the cloak, and seizing his double cup, poured offerings to the gods. Then, as the other would begin again, cheered on to sing by the Phaeacian chiefs, for they enjoyed the story, again would Odysseus, covering his head, break into sobs. And yet he hid from all the rest the tears he shed. Only Alcinous marked him and took heed, for he sat near and heard his deep-drawn sighs. And to the Phaeacians, who delight in oars, he straightway said, "Hearken, Phaeacian captains and counselors. Now have we satisfied desire for the impartial feast and for the lyre, which is the fellow of the stately feast. Let us, then, come away and try all kinds of games, so that the stranger, going home, may tell his friends how greatly we surpass all other men in boxing, wrestling, leaping, speed of foot."